This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Steve Newborn with Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. The takeover of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon has been all over the news as a group of armed ranchers are demanding the government give back the federal land to the local people.
Our purpose is to restore and defend the Constitution.
Would you define this as an armed militia?
Absolutely not.
They got a funny way of showing patriotism by taking over government buildings and committing, in essence, what is treason.
Now, Kelly, let's start out with how long it took the media to cover it. I mean, after all, they were pretty far out there in the sticks, right?
Yeah, the takeover happened on Saturday, right after New Year's. And this story really didn't hit the national news cycle until Sunday evening and Monday morning. And many people on Twitter were accusing the mainstream media of ignoring the story because it was white people taking over a federal building as opposed to black protesters or Muslim terrorists. The problem with getting to this story is the physical location and the timing. This is a holiday weekend, so you have to mobilize your reporters, and this national forest is halfway between Portland and Boise, which means it's a good 5 hours from anything on snowy two-lane roads. So not a media conspiracy at all, just a logistically very hard story to get to.
Now, there was a fake Twitter post that was pretty prominent with this, too. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so on January 3rd, someone started an account that purported to be Ammon Bundy, the leader of this movement. And one of his posts compared his actions to that of Rosa Parks. Many journalists fell for this and reported the story as if this was real. This is not his Twitter feed. This was created by someone else. And it's an unfortunate hoax that made a lot of journalists look bad. It would have been easy enough in this case to call up Ammon Bundy. He's talking to reporters and ask him, is this your Twitter account? The reporters who reported on this did not do that. And that is an unexplainable oversight, in my view.
All right. Now, Kelly, you mentioned the racial impact of all this. We've seen a lot of stories that are quoting people as saying if they were Muslims or African-Americans instead of these white ranchers, the place would have been raided by now. I've seen them described as patriots on one hand to right-wing nutcases on the other hand. What have you been seeing out there?
The language that we use in a story like this implies what our point of view is. If you call them a militia, you give them a certain credibility. If you call them terrorists, that reveals another opinion. And so journalists are struggling with what to call them and in how to explain the nature of their protest. And some of that has to do with the complexities of tension between the federal government and libertarian or very conservative land use proponents out west. It requires a certain historical perspective and also precision in language that is hard to come by on the first pass.
So Kelly McBride of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, how can we as media consumers get the real story behind it all?
So this story has racial complexities, it has historical complexities, it has property rights complexities, and that means that you can't get the whole story in 140 characters or even in a 2-minute newscast. You really do have to be dedicated to consuming a fair amount of information if you want to truly understand what this conflict is about.